All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of All Things Trek that really has nothing to do with Star Trek at all. Today, we are talking about The Dark Knight Rises, and we are joined by my coworker and friend, Leo.
Hello.
And my brother, Ari.
Hello, everyone.
We are still not friends.
Hmm.
All right.
I'm so sad.
So, Dark Knight is a thing that is happening. I guess before we go any further... And I'm not going to try to say anything inspirational, but I know that all of our thoughts are with the people in Aurora, in Colorado, and that all that horrible shit that happened. So, you know, as much as that will help, because I think everything inspirational has already been said. Alright, so moving on to The Dark Knight. Spoiler-free opinions time. I thought it was goofy, but fun. Like, it was worth watching, but I definitely wouldn't say it was a good movie.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All of the periphery makeup was really impressive, like the props and the lighting and all of that I thought was expertly managed, but the story was lacking.
All right, you might want to speak up just a little bit. I'm a little closer to the mic than you are.
Okay.
Here, I will back up a little. Okay. Now. All right. So anyway. Sorry, go ahead.
I did not have a... Like, I had fun watching the movie, but it wasn't very good, in my opinion. I don't suggest watching it in theaters. I know that won't stop anyone, but...
It might stop someone.
It might stop one person, and if so, I have succeeded. But I wouldn't recommend... I'd wait for it to come out, or rip it off, or something. I don't know. Ask a friend. Tell them what they thought of it.
I disagree. I think it's definitely a see-it-in-theaters movie, because... The enjoyment that you get out of it comes from the big explosions and, like, the ass-kickery, which is significantly diminished on a home TV.
I guess that's true, but you're also paying, like, $11.50, where we come from, to see a movie that just isn't very good. And, like, I would see it to, like, conclude the series, but, you know, that's something I can get out of my home theater system.
As a home theater system sounds like such a bourgeois term. For reference, we have a TV.
It's a home theater system. We got seats and a screen that plays movies.
We have a couch. This couch is way more comfortable than those theater
seats.
Yeah,
it is. I was in the worst possible seat in the movie theater, front row, all the way to the left.
Spencer was all the way to the right.
Oh, man. We had the two. I guess we tied for worst seats in the theater.
We got on the wrong line because a friend of ours was already there and thought he was holding us a place in line. But actually, he was holding us a place in line for the next movie.
Yep.
So, by the time we got in, everything was taken except the very front row. So, I guess in fairness, there were a couple of times when I had to just look down because I was tired of craning my neck back. So it's possible that I missed the super brilliant couple seconds in the movie when that happened. All right, so we've all given that. That is our official non-spoilers opinion on the movie. So, if you haven't, we're now going to enter spoiler town. If you haven't already seen the movie and you want to without spoilers, just go. Stop it. Just go. I don't recommend it, but go ahead. I guess I do recommend seeing it, but it's not... I guess Ari's wondered didn't want you to
wait
see
for
it.
Netflix.
Yeah, wait for... Who knows how long? I don't even think the first two are on Netflix.
Wait for your local video store.
Have you noticed that Netflix has not been expanding its repertoire very fast recently? Like, that's a thing that seems to be the case.
I don't have Netflix. Netflix, I
think... How are you even a human being?
I don't understand. How do you work? How do you watch things?
I didn't have internet until, like, 6 months ago. He's, like, has, like, a internet sharing agreement with someone else in his apartment.
You're part of a terrible statistic. A terrible, terrible statistic.
We will live on!
Ah!
Alright, so, I guess the first thing that I noticed about this movie was that there was apparently an 8-year time jump, which I was not expecting. Like... I did not. I was warned about it ahead of time, but I was still not ready for it. Like, at the end of The Dark Knight, because, alright, so, that's going to be a little confusing, because the first one was called The Dark Knight, or the second one was The Dark Knight, this one is called The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, I thought that was a really bad decision, to name it the same thing, plus another word.
It really was. Anyway, in the Joker movie, at the end of that, I did not get that Batman was retiring. I sort of thought the whole point of, like, sicking Harvey Dent's death on him was that he would be, like, a symbol of, like, the criminal underground gone mad so that the police could declare war on crime and use all their Patriot Act bullshit. and, like, you know, and clean up the city. And it seems to me that if Batman immediately disappeared after doing the thing that is being used as the justification for all this, that it would be way less effective. Like, can you imagine if 9/11 had happened and then the Taliban all just, like, committed suicide?
Well, according to the movie, it was successful because the police had, like, cleaned up all the crime.
Well, right.
And, you know, they were getting soft because of it.
The movie called it successful.
Incidentally, for the rest of the movie, acted like complete idiots.
All right, we'll get to the police later.
The movie claimed it was a success, but it was a very strange time jump, and I don't really understand the point.
Although, it's weird. Like, I was really confused, because they keep, like, mentioning that he might have been doing other things during those 8 years, but, like, was he? He invested Tate's money into something and then stopped it? Like, did that make him go into a hermitage? I was confused.
No, he was doing a Howard Hughes.
Yeah, that's actually exactly how it's
been
described.
But he was investing in making a super reactor that could be a nuke, and then he went into reclusion. But, like, I was confused.
I think he was already in reclusion.
Did he make it in his basement? I'm confused. Where did he make this thing?
I don't think he made it himself. I think he financed its creation. I guess they needed the time jump for that to have occurred, but I feel like with all the random crap Wayne Enterprises finances, they could have just said that there was this thing that wasn't relevant to the Joker's story, so we didn't need to know about it until now.
Yeah, they could have just said, we have a nuke.
No, Wayne Enterprises arc reactor.
They reinvented the nuke.
The arc reactor. I mean, not arc reactor.
Quite you.
Look, there was a perfectly good Iron Man movie we could rip a power plant off of.
No, okay, so as to the... Yeah, that. I guess we're going to jump right to the end now.
Wow.
The nuke, the whole, like, nuke story is very complicated, and, like, the point has been raised a couple of times when we were just talking about the movie of why didn't they just get a real nuke? Like, they could steal one from Russia. Like, Russia, I've heard that Russia has lost track of some of them. I don't know if that's actually true, but I just figure it would probably be easier than the plan they came up with.
Yeah, like... It was really complicated, it was complicated to the point where there were factors they couldn't control that could have completely scrapped the plan,
mm-hmm.
like Bruce Wayne deciding to sink the whole project, or maybe just not make it the way they wanted to in the first place,
because
he was the main mind behind its actual creation, and like, the point I've heard is that it's a personal thing, so they wanted to destroy Gotham with Bruce Wayne's own thing. How about get a real nuke as a backup, in case, like... your personal revenge plan that has some big holes in it doesn't follow through, and then you're like, okay, this didn't work. We actually got a real nuke that we can just set off now.
Yeah,
just hit the go.
I had a hard time believing that they actually wanted to blow up Gotham.
No, they did.
Because they had this detonator, and they were like, we're gonna wait until one of you who has the detonator, will set off the city and blow it up. But wait, we have the detonator. And, oh, also, the bomb's gonna go off by itself in a couple of weeks.
I felt like the movie was embarrassed about that plot, because they brought up the whole, like, one of you has the detonator. Because, like, that's what's, you know, for anyone who hasn't seen the movie and is listening to us anyway, the bomb that they've made out of Bruce Wayne's super cool reactor is going to blow up in, like, 3-4 months or something, but one random person in Gotham has the detonator and can set it off early if the government, like, tries to do something funky. And, I thought that, like, the movie raised that plot and then refused to do anything with it. And I think that part of that was because they realized that they had already done that with the Joker. The Joker's, his big subplot was trying to force the people of Gotham to turn on each other. And they have that, like, that cool moment on the boat when the prisoner's like, give me the detonator and I'll do it. You can say I took it from you. And the guard's like, okay. And he gives it. And the prisoner tosses it over and gives him the... fuck you look.
Yep, that was basically the same scene.
And that scene is amazing. I fucking love that scene.
Yep.
It's probably my favorite part in the entire second movie.
Really good.
But I feel like in this movie they brought up this plot of someone has the detonator and they're like, wait a minute, hang on, we already did this. But they already filmed all those sequences and it was too late to take it out. So they're like, oh, okay, I guess we're just going to ignore. Because no one in the movie buys that anyone but Bane has it.
Yep.
They kind of did the same thing where they released all the prisoners from the Arkham Asylum,
but then did nothing
with called,
them,
and did nothing with them, which was the exact same. That was a big plot of the first movie, and they again went nowhere with it.
It wasn't Arkham Asylum. Arkham Asylum is the crazy place. This is the big prison in Gotham. Arkham Asylum's not actually in Gotham.
Okay, yeah.
So but, just for listeners out there who are really into the mythos and all that,
The mythos. I know mythos means more than one thing, but I always imagine Cthulhu when anyone says that.
Well, if anyone's into Cthulhu, you know, maybe right. Cthulhu's in Batman.
I mean, Arkham? Cthulhu? Okay, anyway. So I guess we're on. The reason why they let all the prisoners out, I can explain this to you very easily. It's that they were trying, unsuccessfully in my opinion, to lessen the message of the movie, which is fuck poor people. Like, the movie has a really... I saw it pretty clearly, because the whole, like, Bane taking over the city is all about, like, apparently, the militaristic redistribution of wealth and tearing down all the successful people.
That's what Bane says, anyway.
Yeah, well, Bane said all that. I mean, it wasn't a particularly good way to do that, or even an interesting way to do it, but I think that they were concerned that people would get that message, and so they showed that these people are the evil poor people. Is what it was. Like, the good poor people still support their rich overlords like they should. The evil poor people who live in the prison have been freed, and so now they... And you notice it's the same reason they kept referring to Bane's followers as mercenaries. They're clearly not mercenaries. No mercenaries are willing to die for their cause like that.
Yeah, nor was anybody hiring them. Yeah. Nobody got paid. No one was working for anybody.
You could say Bane is a mercenary because the evil businessman hired him.
Oh, you mean Plot McTwist?
Plot McTwist. No, evil Bruce Wayne.
Oh, the first
he
guy.
He died, like, halfway through the, or less than halfway through the movie.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Evil Bruce Wayne? Evil Bruce Wayne. The guy who tried to take over the Wayne Enterprises.
Oh, okay.
Like, one of the slew of new characters that this finale introduced to us, which was a big problem that I had, where they kept shoving all these new characters in my face and expected me to care about them, and it was the finale, so I wanted to see all the characters I already knew, but instead Gordon and Alfred got pushed to the side for all these new characters to shine.
Well, yeah. Batman got pushed to the side, too.
I don't actually care that much about Batman, though. Like, yeah, Batman's Batman is a weakness in the film as far as characters go, but Alfred and Gordon are both big strengths, and they got pushed off to the side.
Did you notice that they introduced a new guy? I'm not talking about the main young cop. I'm talking about the other cop.
Oh, yeah.
Who is basically just there to give orders that Gordon can't give, because they're stupid orders, and Gordon can't give dumb orders. So they introduced this new character, and I don't know what his rank is exactly.
He's vaguely high up cop.
But he's, like, doing all the things that Gordon should be doing.
Also, he says hot-headed a lot. He says hothead, like, three times throughout the movie. He doesn't have that many lines.
Yeah, there's a high percentage of hot-headed.
They keep calling Inception Cop hot-headed, but, like, that actor does not give off this hot-headed look. His face does not give those really...
Well, he's got that, like, idealistic young...
Well, he's idealistic, but, like,
thing going on.
His voice never gets super raised, and he's never, like, looking angry or anything, so they keep calling him hot-headed, but that actor just does not look or act hot-headed. I'm not saying he's a bad... I think he was one of the better characters in this movie.
Well, he was the main character.
They kept misnomering him hot-headed, and I'm like, that's not the adjective for him. Idealistic or naive is something you could assign to him.
So what did we think about him? Because, like, I guess, you know, at the end he's revealed to be Robin. I really want him in retrospect. I would have been way happier if he was Batman Begins. Batman Begins, sorry.
That's Terry.
Terry is his name. I fucking love that cartoon.
I was really hoping for that, too.
No. Not enough people know about that.
I'm okay with him being Robin. Although if there is another Batman movie, I really hope Batman's not in it. I hope it's just Robin. A movie about Robin would be kind of cool.
I'm wondering what they'll do with Robin, because, like, as far as I know, Robin hasn't been done well yet in a movie.
My guess is going to be nothing.
Robin has always been colorful. Like, Batman is at least wore dark colors. Robin's been a pretty colorful guy, and that just doesn't fit in the dark and gritty Gotham we've created.
I bet they would redesign his costume. I also bet it would be remarkably similar to just him being Batman.
Yeah.
They should just go with the costume he wears in the Teen Titans. He has the black cape, and, like, he has the red and green, but it's more subdued, and he's not wearing tights.
Or hell, same from Teen Titans, the future Robin, who is Nightwing.
Oh, Nightwing! Yeah. Nightwing's a boss.
You could make him Nightwing. Nightwing was Nightwing sounds less silly, because it's, you know, sounds kind of more badass than, like, a Robin. I'm not scared of Robins, I'm sorry. They don't live in dark caves.
I admit, I am much more afraid of superheroes with not scary names. superheroes with scary names immediately say poser to me. Oh, it's posers. Like, it's like they're not scary on their own, so they had to pick like this scary animal name. It's like if I go up against a sports team and they call themselves the Wolves or the Tiger Sharks, I'm just like, fuck you guys.
But like,
but a team named the Badgers, I will be like, oh my god, the Badgers.
They don't give a shit. But like, you know, if his name was Robin, he'd have to have Robin themed things. I'm sure he would have like explosive
maybe.
Something.
They're all about reinventing dorky looking superheroes to be badass motherfuckers.
Yeah, yes, I mean,
they just failed the majority of the time.
I mean, the idea that Batman wasn't always this dark and gritty thing. I mean, I'm like, you know, he was a lot more, even the original Batmans were a lot more like Adam West than they were like whatever Frank Miller, than they were like the Frank Miller reimaginings.
That's true. I'm just not sure if that's the direction I'm not sure if they can take it there in like a couple movies.
I mean, I think that it's been proved, I think Iron Man proved to us that you can have a vaguely humorous character in a serious movie and it still works. I mean, I think that's a weakness of the Batman movies, actually, is that they think that any amount of humor is going to ruin their dark, gritty, super serious, soul-searching
movie. There was
movie.
A little bit of humor. Scarecrow was humor in that movie.
Yeah, a little bit.
I found this entire movie pretty humorous, actually. Yeah, I was laughing a lot of the time.
I did too, but I don't think it was intentional.
Also,
I don't think it was supposed to be funny.
Also, none of my friends got this. They all had different takes on the Scarecrow scenes in this movie, but did anyone else out there get Idiocracy from those courtroom scenes? Because that's what I got out of it.
I can see why you got it, but I immediately thought Alice in Wonderland. Wait, no, that's not true. I'm lying. I immediately got Encounter at Farpoint.
There, see, it does have something to do with Star Trek.
Yeah. Oh, woo!
And
Star Trek.
All Bane missing was a midget with a cowbell.
Yeah, if he'd had a midget with a cowbell, he would have ruined that entire, like, section.
Although, interestingly, I believe Bane is played by the same actor who played Card Clone in Nemesis, is that it?
Yeah, I forget his name, but yeah, that is the
so
same
guy. So maybe he, like, took
Tom Hardy, that's his name.
Maybe that mask is to keep him alive from that evil clone disease that's slowly murdering him so he can go get Picard afterwards.
Oh my gosh. He's got a thing in the mouth.
He's
Hold
got a
on.
Thing in the mouth.
I'm not...
The thing in the mouth did not bother me.
It did.
I'm not...
I'm sorry.
I hate the thing in the mouth. Especially since the thing in the mouth is revealed to be completely unnecessary. Because it's... The explanation of the thing in the mouth is that his face got fucked up.
No, it's not.
No,
it's a pain relief thing.
Yeah, because his face is fucked up. You can replace your face now. That is a thing you can do.
Yeah, but then you don't get to wear a badass evil-looking mask.
Also, I'm just saying, if the actual reason is because his face is fucked up, because in the comics, it's that it gives him super strength because it's gas and shit.
They did not explain that in the movie.
No,
they actually brought that into the movie at the end of the Batman fight scene. When Batman fucks up his mask, Bane goes kind of berserk and, like, starts freaking out. And I thought that was a really cool tie-in to the original Bane.
I thought that was supposed to be because he was in a lot of pain.
Yeah,
somewhere.
That's what I thought.
Well,
I mean,
it was, but it's still... That's a trope of Bane, and they brought that into the movie, which I thought was clever.
I'm just saying, they specifically included a sequence to explain the thing in the mouth, and they never once mentioned superpowered gas. And Alfred knows every other fucking thing about Bane.
I'm sure
he must have known that, too, if that was part of the character.
I had no problem with the mask. I really like the contrasting voice with the visual aesthetic of Bane. He's a really big, burly guy, and then he has this cultured voice, and he's pretty smart, and like is a feels more like a thinking man, even though he like beats the shit out of Batman.
No, despite the thing in the mouth, I did like Bane. Bane was probably one of the stronger points in the movie for me.
I feel Bane got ruined by things that weren't his fault.
Yeah,
I did not like Bane at all. Bane had... They introduced his backstory, which is the super badass, I escaped from the unescapable prison, and that makes me the strongest badass in the world, because I was born in the darkness. And then they revealed that he wasn't.
See, that's why. It wasn't Bane's fault, though. It was someone else's fault who came in and ruined his backstory. It was nothing Bane did.
I mean, I think I understand what Leo and Ari are both talking about. I liked what Tom Hardy did with Bane. That was what I liked. I liked the, you know, the voice. Although I liked, the voice was best in the first scene, and it gets worse after that, because he gets harder to understand.
I've heard it on a review, another review, that they did something to change the voice after that first scene, because it sounds markedly different.
Yeah, it does. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I could believe it.
This is unconfirmed reports coming from me, and you can trust me.
But by the same token, I understand Leo, they ruined Bane's character by introducing a plot McTwist at the end with this lady.
Tate.
What?
Tate.
Is that her name?
Tate is her name.
Tate is her name? That's an Tate. Unfortunate name.
It is. And I like saying that word, so now I get to say it a lot.
Okay. And then even before they'd ruined his background with that, they showed us this prison he escaped from, and it's like this hole in the ground, and like, you can't put a free climber in there. They'll just leave.
Yeah, the establishing shots for that prison are terrible. I understand what they're trying to do, and it's supposed to get harder the higher you climb, because that's what... The couple of scenes where they show him trying to leap the gap, it shows you that the spacings are farther and farther apart. That's not what any of the establishing shots show. It looks like there are large, evenly spaced handholds all the way up the tunnel.
Not only that, even if there weren't handholds, there's plenty of climbers in real life that could just climb up the fucking side of that thing. It was, like, rough and had all these nooks and crannies.
Especially since someone has attached, like, what do you call those things that you drive into rocks to attach ropes to? Like, a climbing... Like a python? A baton?
Something. Climbing pins.
Like
whatever.
A climbing spike. Someone has attached a climbing spike halfway up the wall and put a rope over it. So just climb up to that climbing spike with the rope, because you can, at that point, you're just, it's not rappelling, it's the opposite of rappelling, but it's like rope climbing. You're just walking up the surface with this rope, and then you drive another one in about 5 feet up, and then you just repeat, rinse and repeat. I mean,
or God forbid that, like, someone walks by and sees a bunch of people that need help and drops a rope down.
There is a rope. There's a conveniently placed rope up at the top that Bruce Wayne kicks down when he climbs out.
No one in this prison has any friends,
also,
I guess.
Yeah, this prison is really weird because it's aesthetically badly done. Apparently,
I thought it looked cool. It just wasn't functional.
Well, no. But they say it's supposed to be... Like, the people in there were kind of dirty, I guess. And, like, I'm just saying... The prison in Chronicles of Riddick did it better, okay? And, you know, I expect Batman to be better than Chronicles of Riddick. I'm sorry for anyone who loves Chronicles of Riddick out there.
We love Pitch Black.
Yeah, we love Pitch Black. Awesome, awesome standalone movie, you know. Yeah.
I also watched the animated movie that goes in between Pitch Black and Chronicles of Riddick, and that was pretty cool, too.
So, like, just saying, a bunch of other movies have done this dark, gritty prison. You can point to prisons in the real world that are worse than hell on earth.
I'm pretty sure if you picked a random prison in France, it would be worse than this prison.
Like,
this
the
whole
prisoners are all have this big sense of camaraderie. They really help someone who's trying to get out, and they, like, cheer you on. Apparently in the comic, they're supposed to be mocking you and hoping you fall. That's not what they did in the movie. In the comic, it's supposed to be like a day-long climb, and, like, the hole, instead of being this huge hole that isn't very far away from the prisoners, it's like this pinprick up above, so all you see is this tiny speck of light. It's apparently all different from the comic in ways that are worse. I'm not saying the movies have to follow the comic. I don't never read any of these comics, but they had really good material for Hell on Earth, and then they just downgraded all of it for some reason that I can't understand.
Well, and also, this is supposed to be, like, a prison in some vaguely Middle Eastern country, but there are a lot of white guys in this prison. And, like, where did all these white people come from?
I thought that was okay, because they didn't actually say it was the Middle East. It was just a desert somewhere.
No, but that's actually... That leads into my next point. This was a weird, contrasting thing that I found very jarring in this movie, was that, on the one hand, we have prison that basically exists in fantasy land. You're like, there's really nowhere on Earth that planet, that prison could actually be. Except for maybe right outside Istanbul.
You mean Constantinople?
No, not Constantinople. It got the works, and that's nobody's business but the Turks, okay? Shut up. So anyway, you had this prison in this weird fantasy land, but then, like, Batman, there's, like, a president and a CIA and dudes in, like, actual U.S. Army uniforms. And a general and, like, actual army tanks, not, like, weird bat tanks. And it's, like, this whole thing is about how this is in the real world. And I have a hard enough time believing that Gotham exists in the actual United States.
Well, no, Gotham is the only city that exists in the world, very clearly.
No, there's Hong Kong, remember?
No, Beijing.
Oh, Beijing, sorry.
Oh, Beijing.
Beijing and Gotham are the only two cities. And between them, the president exists somewhere, and there's a hole in the ground.
Because you would think that this would be, like, a national calamity, and they'd, you know, send in troops and...
No, they couldn't, because there was because someone had the detonator.
Someone had the detonator. What happens if that person escaped? They sound like they were giving it... to me, it sounded like they were giving a detonator that the person didn't realize was a detonator, and then it would be like, do you have the detonator?
Whatever actually happened with that? Was it Tate that
had
it?
Yeah, he had it the whole time.
It doesn't make any
sense. Their plan is so cool, it's what I've now labeled the Bane Directive, where your plan, the best success for your plan, includes your own death for no reason.
Yeah.
It's like, yay, we win! Now we're dead! Hooray! Victory!
See, that's why, like, clearly they're supposed to be doing this for ideological reasons, which is why I got a real fuck the poor vibe off this movie. Because it's, like, it's a movie about tearing down the rich.
A movie about just blowing everything up. But the rich, they're going to kill everybody.
To tear down the rich, because Gotham is supposedly the symbol of corrupt decadence, and they're trying to break that.
But it's not.
Well, the movie tells us it is.
Okay. It doesn't look that terrible. It doesn't look worse than any other city, big city, like from the shots they give us.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's supposed to. It does look a little bit better than it did in Batman Begins. In Batman Begins, it just looked like one giant slum.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess that's supposed to be representative of the fact that the police have been patriot acting it up.
I just realized. So, in the first Batman, they want to destroy Gotham because it's a terrible slum. And then that's the League of Shadows, and that's their thing. And then in the third Batman, the League of Shadows wants to destroy Gotham because it's too rich and decadent.
It's too nice. Damn it.
Well, they just really don't like
they
Gotham.
They like mediocrity, okay? It needs to be an okay city. Can't be too good.
But to finish up my point I had earlier, I was just saying it was two extremely clashing themes of Batman is in the real world. No, Batman is in weird fantasy comic world. And I just have a really hard time reconciling the two.
How did he get back? He walked.
Yeah, whatever.
Where did he walk from? Where the fuck was that city in the United States?
Istanbul.
From a hole in the ground.
No, I don't know. I mean, probably he like had the bat thing, the bat wing.
It's not the Batwing. It's the Bat.
Okay, the Batwing.
The Bat.
The one autopilot Morgan came and picked him up or something
the
like
bat.
That. I can buy that. It's a little goofy, but that's probably what I
the Bat. I'm pointing at Leo right now.
It's called the Batwing. I don't care what you guys say.
It's what Morgan Freeman said. You listen to Morgan Freeman. He knows what he's talking about.
I normally think
yeah,
it's
Morgan
kind of...
said. Morgan Freeman said the Bat Wing.
He said the Bat, and they asked wing. Him to say it right, and he's like, "No, this is dumb. I'm Morgan Freeman. You can't stop me. I'll say this line however I damn well feel like."
I normally find it kind of unprofessional laughter in reviews, but I just can't help it. I'm just trying to imagine how Bruce Wayne got back to Gotham somehow.
He hiked his way back.
I
or
imagine
something?
He probably had to I don't know, do some quick and dirty like. You know, day labor to buy, earn enough money to buy a ticket back to the United States.
Well, I think when he got back, they did do like a time lapse thing, right?
They never actually tell you how much time is going by.
But some time had gone by.
Yeah, it says like time has gone by, but they never established that, so I have no idea how long any of these changes
are supposed to be. There was a shot at one point that said like day 86 or something, and it was like winter in Gotham.
Too bad I don't really remember exactly. I'm like vaguely aware of how many days are in a month. If they could have just told me how much time was left until the bomb blew up, that would have been better.
Yeah, it was basically 3 months. Yeah. But we don't know when in that period Bruce Wayne broke out of the prison. After the not doctor. That was the weird part, is that they had doctor, but he was not the one helping Bruce Wayne fix his back. It was this other prisoner who didn't have a name even. He was just some random helpful prisoner.
Your back's broken. I'm going to fix it.
Here, hold still.
Jam it in there.
Your vertebrae is sticking out of your spine. You should be paraplegic. Instead, I'm going to punch you in the back and then have you hang from this rope for 3 days. You'll be okay.
I feel this movie should be standard training procedure for any medical professional so they know how to fix someone whose back is broken because we have a hard time doing that right now.
Also, you have no cartilage in your knees.
But you can still be Batman.
Yeah, whatever. We established at the end of the movie that Batman is a giant troll. I will bet you anything that he just gave the doctor some false x-rays.
Bat-wire.
Just, like, did some sleight of hand. He was like, hey, doctor, look out the window. The doctor was like, huh? And then he was like, whoop.
I still like the idea of discount doctoring where they don't have x-ray machines, so you bring in your own x-rays and they read them for you.
I'm sure that's what I was
discount doctoring.
That sounds like the kind of doctor
it's a decadent doctor that accepts bribes.
Bribes. I am susceptible to bribes. Oh, Bruce Wayne.
So,
put us back on course, Orin.
I'm not sure where to go from here.
Catwoman.
Oh yeah, her.
She
was in this movie.
I really liked Catwoman, I have to say. I was not expecting to from the shots from like the previews. The previews made her look really boring. But I actually really liked her, and I really liked that she never got into the full cat getup.
And they
like,
never called her Catwoman.
Yeah, they never actually called her Catwoman. Like, she was clearly Catwoman. Her name is Selina. Yeah, Selina Kyle. So she's Catwoman, but there was never any point at which she demanded to be called Catwoman, which actually really helped the whole this thing takes place in the real world story they had going.
Yeah.
Because it was one problem I had with The Dark Knight, and by The Dark Knight I mean the Joker's movie, was that the movie spent an awful lot of time with people who weren't in costumes, and clearly the only people I cared about were the ones in costumes. Whereas this movie, I actually cared about people who weren't in costumes.
A couple of them, anyway.
And, like, Batman was around.
I find it weird, like, my brain is trying to distance characters that I liked, like Inception Cop and Catwoman, from the rest of this movie, because, like, I didn't really like this movie, but these were good characters. except for Catwoman had to be Bruce Wayne's love interest. I was really happy when
they just kissed a couple of times. It wasn't really...
Except that you need to come with me and save yourself because I love you.
Yeah, there was clearly romantic tension there.
There was a lot of it, and I was really happy when Tate slept with Batman because I'm like, okay, awesome. Catwoman doesn't have to be the love interest because we have this other woman here who's the love interest. And then Batman went back to, like, hitting on Catwoman and kissing her. I'm like, Batman, you're an ass. This is the quality I like in my heroes.
That scene where he sleeps with Tate really weirded me out because, like, he's all, like, scarred and shit because Rachel died and he hasn't really recovered from it in, like, 8 years. And apparently all it took was, like, hanging out with a female for, like, an hour. And he was like, all right, sex. I liked that.
I enjoyed this.
And then he immediately just jumps on it. And I was like, that, I feel like the movie doesn't really understand, like, issues and that, like, it's it's hard to get close to someone after you've suffered a traumatic loss.
He was just being dramatic, all right?
Yeah, maybe he was just whining. I don't know. Maybe he was faking it.
He needs some pity.
It's like, they act like Alfred telling him that about the letter saying that Rachel didn't really love him. They act like that would somehow fix his problems, where in all likelihood it would make them worse.
So he's like, you gotta move on. Stop being a huge bitch about this.
And maybe it was revenge sex. I don't know. Revenge so against someone who's dead.
Maybe it's revenge sex against Alfred. We don't know. Alfred, you betrayed me.
Oh, Alfred. Did you notice how in this movie, Alfred, even though I like Alfred, he gives, like, 3 tangerine speeches.
Yeah, I like the original tangerine speech.
Yeah, it's not bad.
The original tangerine speech is using, like, Alfred's own experience and using that as, like to compare and metaphor and basically kind of give insight into the Joker's character, but not tell you his backstory. This was just Alfred dumping exposition on the audience by saying, I found this out in, like, a day, and this is Bane's backstory. I'm like, where did you find that? Did you look on his Wikipedia article?
Seriously, I had like, that thought, too.
Like, did you just Google Bane's backstory, and then you looked
like
up...
like the dude from Pokemon.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really...
You looked up the script for The Dark Knight Rises, and you found out where Bane was from, and then you went and told Bruce Wayne about it.
I was really confused why we needed to know Bane's backstory at all, beyond the fact that he was in the League of Shadows and got excommunicated for being too extreme, and now he runs the League of Shadows. I was like, I don't really think we need to know his backstory beyond that. We can know that he came out of this prison. Well,
that was his backstory, to be fair. The rest of his real backstory was, I was this guy on the sidelines that protected Tate.
See,
that was the entirety of the rest of his backstory.
But see, that's the reason why I understand. I understand at the end, it just made me angry. The reason why we spent so much time establishing Bane's backstory was so that it would feel... like, the rug was pulled out from under us at the end when they revealed, like, the M. Night Shyamalama level twist. I really feel almost like, considering all the comic book references in this movie and how closely this movie stuck to the comic book story of Bane, including the Batman gets his back broken, even though they clearly didn't have a credible way to get his back unbroken.
I was really
hoping...
They
stuck.
There is no credible way to get your back unbroken. You're in a wheelchair.
I was hoping he was going to make a bat robot, like in the cartoon, where he got in a bat mech and fought Bane in a bat mech.
But what I'm saying is, this movie really felt like it was setting up everyone who's a fan of the comic. And setting them up being like, oh, Christopher Nolan does care about us.
Fuck you.
Because Christopher Nolan has said a couple of times that he didn't want the movies to be like the comics. And, like, I don't think he meant that as an insult. I think he just, you know, he wanted to make his own story, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But I feel like this movie was building up comic book fans to make them think that this movie was actually for them. And then at the end, giving them, like, the huge middle finger. And I'm almost imagining Christopher Nolan just dancing around in front of the screen going... Fuck you, nerds! Look at this movie I made!
Fuck you, I do what I want, I'm Christopher Nolan.
But apparently people really like this movie. I haven't heard anyone else that wasn't...
Wait, really?
Except for, like, our entire group thought it was at best silly.
Right.
Who have we seen that liked this movie?
Because
our coworkers don't count.
Okay,
our coworkers have terrible taste in movies.
My friend Paul was of the opinion before this movie that Christopher Nolan can do no wrong. And then he came back and said he didn't like the movie very much. There's hope for the general public.
I can't give any specific quotes, but consensus I've heard from the internet and people I've talked to is that they enjoy the film.
I'm not going
to
name any names, but of people of our work, we have people who just don't care and will like anything. And we have people who really love comics and love anything that has anything to do with comics.
That's true.
And that's really it. Those are the only people we've heard from. Like, no one else has seen it yet.
Fair enough.
And there are certainly people who liked the movie, don't get me wrong, but there are also people who hated this movie.
Also, I think it got like an 87 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, whatever.
Which is pretty high.
Rotten Tomatoes doesn't actually mean anything. Rotten Tomatoes doesn't actually reflect how much people like it. It just reflects how much people were motivated to go post on it. And people tend to be more motivated to post something that on Rotten Tomatoes that they liked. It's just the thing. Like, Rotten Tomatoes...
The 87% is based on reviewer ratings, not community ratings.
Oh, really?
That total is based on, like, registered
The one movie review...
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. No, but that actually makes it less reliable, because those people have a vested interest in giving the movie a positive review.
Oh, I know, I'm just saying.
So that actually means even less than I thought it did.
PC Gamers...
Fuck you, Rotten Tomatoes. I'm done with you.
Anyway, PC Gamers Magazine gives Batman The Dark Knight Rises 20 out of 10.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Man. It's pretty good, don't get me wrong. Actually, the one movie review I actually watched of it was actually kind of disappointed by it.
Yeah.
And he said himself that that there were good things about it, but those good things just aren't really worth talking about because they're kind of accepted as good. There's, like, you know, the background is good, the action's pretty good, the costumes are pretty good.
Well, that we sort of glossed over, my favorite part of that movie was Catwoman. I thought that she had the most believable backstory and motivations.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And,
I was worried about how they were going to integrate Catwoman into this Bane story, but they actually did it very well. I liked everything about Catwoman.
Although Catwoman was the unfortunate device which gave Bane the worst ending of any movie villain I've seen in a long time.
Oh, you mean the shot by a missile from off screen?
Yeah, screw you, boom.
But they didn't actually confirm the kill is the funny part.
Yeah, we had to get Bane out of the way to fight Batman's mortal enemy, Normal Woman.
Oh wait, it's a good thing Batman doesn't use guns.
Yep. Oh yeah, Batman just equipped all of his shit with massive guns. Although, to be fair, his tank guns are probably just shoot styrofoam. Because the effect we saw them have on a helicopter was none. Like when the Bat is shot by a tank at least two times, nothing happens. Take any tank, any modern or even semi-modern, like World War II tank, and shoot a Blackhawk with it. I can give you a pretty good idea of what's happening to that Blackhawk.
It looks kind of like a fireworks display.
It's great. But helicopters are so fragile, they break on their own.
Hold on, I want to make a quick interjection here. I actually am going to give Batman a higher score on his not killing people meter for this movie than the last one. Because granted, he did have tons of guns on all his stuff, but at least in this movie, he wasn't, like, parading around downtown shooting machine guns into the street. Like, you know, for that entire chase scene where he's getting chased by, like, the entire police department of the universe, he manages to not blow anything up.
That's true.
And I'm like, good Batman. Good boy, Batman. You get a bat snack. A bat treat.
Also, why is, going back to the power of the guns, where does the bat bite keep its ammo? And, like, see how, like, the bat bike is really cool aesthetically because when it does the wheel roll, what they're rolling over? The guns. How are those guns still working?
That bothers me a little bit. The ammo doesn't bother me because things just have ammo, and it would look dumb if you had this big ammo crate on the back, so fuck it.
But, the bat bike was like an emergency escape pod when it was first introduced, and, like, it was just stretching my imagination. Not only did it have basically unlimited ammo, but ammo that could one-shot tanks. And blow up big masses of like, broken-down cars. Not just, like damage them. Just completely remove them from whatever was in front of it.
From,
like,
the universe.
That was definitely, like, a shoot the highlighted square and have it be destroyed.
It's just, like, the tank cannons are pieces of crap, but apparently these tiny little cannons on the bat bike will just break tanks.
Well, we're talking about Batman's vehicles, talking about the Bat.
The Bat.
I actually liked the Bat aesthetically. I liked it a lot. I was really weirded out why they called it the Bat, because it looks like a bug. It actually looks... I thought they should have called it the Roach. Like, it looks like a roach.
Yeah, Roach Man, yo.
I mean, it fits with the rest of the aesthetic of the other Bat vehicles in this
series. And you know what? I would have been okay with it if they had done one thing. If Nolan had done this one thing for me...
Batwing?
Batwing would have been cool, too. But if Morgan Freeman had said, we call it the Bat, or the Batwing, if we want to be cool, and Bruce Wayne had said, you're reaching a little bit on this one, Fox. And he's like, and he just, you know, he gave him a shrug or something. Like, the movie acknowledged that it was not
It doesn't
actual...
look vague. It doesn't even look bat-like.
Yeah, that they were...
But the Bat... car or whatever it's called, the Batmobile, Batmobile.
They never actually called that thing the Batmobile, and they never called the Batcycle.
Okay, so none of them are called that, but none of them have that, like, sleek, you know, super pointy look that the old Bat vehicles had.
Right, which is...
And so all the vehicles are breaking off from that aesthetic, so I didn't really have a problem with it.
Well, the reason why it's different here is because they never actually named those things the Bat-whatever. Like, that was part of the reason why I think they didn't, was because they realized it doesn't look anything like the old Bat stuff. So the same is true with the Bat.
Well, bats fly. This thing flies.
This thing flies, right?
Lots of things fly, okay?
It's the Bat. It's not the Bat wing. I don't know why we
didn't call it. Bats are black?
No, bats are actually, like, more of a brown.
Bats have rotary blades, you know? There's so exactly. many things in common.
Yeah, bats are well known for their ability to hover.
Yep, it's true.
They can. They hang.
It's, all right, you know? since we've been talking a lot about the vehicles, you want to talk about that final battle sequence?
Which one?
The one with the police.
Cops? Oh, the police.
All right, okay, so this was the part of the movie where I literally just started laughing as I was watching it, because you have, like, and I can't put this one on Batman, because Batman just told the police to go storm the criminal headquarters. I assumed he figured they weren't going to do it like retards.
You assumed they were competent in like any a brain fart scene.
Because they're all, like, bunched together, like, shoulder to shoulder, on this very narrow stretch of street. They have, like, handguns. I don't know where all the SWAT officers went. For some reason, they're not in the front.
Their shield.
Maybe they had to eat their SWAT armor. I don't know.
They were down there for, like, 3 months.
But they've all got handguns. They're all in remarkably good shape for being down in the sewers for 3 months, even assuming they were getting past a lot.
Well, they had plenty of food, and they probably didn't have much to do besides work out. That didn't bother me.
But anyway, so they're charging against dudes who have cover, assault rifles, and tanks.
Yep.
How did they not get murdered?
The styrofoam cannons blocked the bad guy's line of fire.
Yeah. They
made the mistake of assuming those big guns on the tanks were good for anything.
Like, even if there wasn't anyone in the tanks, they were still, like, cover that the criminals with assault rifles could hide behind.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting all of the policemen to just get mowed down. Yeah. Like, that's what I thought.
Like, Last Samurai style.
Yeah, like, I saw dudes who looked like they were carrying, like, G-36s and, like, M-16s and AKs. You saw prisoners who had AKs.
You know, except no substitutes.
Exactly. It's like they took all their battles. They, like, took all their battle ideas from Lord of the Rings or something.
Fuck yeah!
And, like, the guys charge! With handguns charge, and then, like, the criminals obligingly countercharge. And, like, I think I saw, like, two cops go down.
They want to play a sporting game, okay? It would be too easy if they just
The cops
everybody.
Were hoping that if they never fired their guns, the criminals would forget that guns shoot bullets. And they would also charge and use them as blunt instruments.
Well, you see, Bane and his followers are very sporting. They wouldn't want to, you know, do anything insane.
It
like,
was a
blow up the agreement. City when they had the chance.
No, sir. No.
Gentlemen's agreement, you see.
No, I mean, and, like, there was also, someone else pointed this out, and I didn't really notice it at the time, but thinking back on it, it is kind of weird. So you remember that police officer we were talking about earlier who is not Commissioner Gordon?
Yep.
Okay, so he shows up, and the camera shows him with his handgun. It cuts away, it cuts back, and he has an assault rifle. It cuts away, and it cuts back, and he's dead with no weapons.
What? I didn't get that. I missed that.
Yeah, he is such an unnecessary character and does nothing and has no effect on the story.
He's the personification of the police being dumbasses. Like, he's...
Tell me why that's good for the story.
Because the story wanted the police to have become soft and dumb, and he's the movie showing you that.
I
thought he was annoying and a douchebag.
I mean, it seems like the police gone beyond soft and untrained just into terminal, like, mental illness.
Well, I thought it was especially ironic that they have the sequence where the police are, like, charging this, like, sort of ragtagged, you know, poorly dressed group of people that, if you took away their guns, would totally look like an Occupy Wall Street, motion. And, the police are all being all like, there's only one police, we're taking back the city, and it's like,
I have to interrupt you.
Hmm?
One of my favorite parts of the movie was, there's no police in Gotham. Wait, there's one police.
Boom, I am the one police.
which just turned out was a lie, there were actually three.
There were a couple of police.
Whatever.
But,
only the character police survived.
But yeah, I just thought that was, I thought that was an extremely bad taste, to have, like, a bunch of police charging at a motley dressed group of civilians in a time when the police are in a lot of trouble for beating up motley dressed civilians, And of course, the movie gives them guns and makes them evil, but it's just, I mean, imagine if during World War II or right after World War II, we'd shown a bunch of Germans fighting for their lives against evil Jews. I mean, obviously it doesn't quite line up. It's not the same level. It's just the easiest thing I can come up with.
Fastest.
You know, the point is that if you take a real, like, conflict in real life and that is extremely one-sided, and then you, like, parallel it in a movie but try to make it seem, like, different, it's kind
Except
of disrespectful.
In this, the one-sidedness is that the terrorists should have been destroying.
Right, but they didn't. Because the movie doesn't realize how retarded it's being. Like, the movie didn't do that on purpose. It wants you to think that that is an effective tactic that the police are using. We know it's not because we have two brain cells to rub together. But the movie thinks it is. If the movie wanted that to be an ineffective tactic, the police would all have been slaughtered. Also, at which point, I would have actually given it a modicum of respect.
Like, also, did you notice they never actually showed us how the cops won? They just won off screen.
Yeah,
it's like victory because they couldn't show us any plausible way for the cops to have won that battle.
Nope.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
The cops should have lost. And, like, I would have been sad seeing heaps of dead policemen, but it would have made way more sense.
Yeah, I just think that entire sequence was extremely unfortunate.
Just for everyone, and if anyone brings up this point, even if the bat had EMP'd all of the tanks, disregarding that all of Batman's things should have been EMP-proof because he has EMPs on multiple things.
Well, modern tanks are EMP-proof.
But, like,
It's a super EMP.
Even saying that the tanks weren't working, the cops still should have lost. I'm just going to address that because that's the only point I've heard raised is that the tanks might not have worked.
You didn't need tanks to win that fight.
You didn't need tanks.
Because
well,
the tanks were still things
rifles.
To hide. In fact, the tanks are perfectly shaped to be cover. They are perfectly shaped.
You wouldn't even need cover to win that fight.
It's true. The cops, I think, like, there were maybe five or six of them abreast.
Mm-hmm.
And only maybe the first two rows could effectively fire their weapons. And they were, like, maybe a couple hundred, like, 100 or 200 deep. So, like, a tiny fraction of their firepower is available at any one time.
I mean, the cops might have been able to make it to them.
Maybe.
With, like, some guys.
If the cops hadn't just broken, I think what most people would do, because cops aren't military
people. Most
people
wouldn't do that.
Well, I'm
just
saying...
Let's not bring logic
into
this fight. That would be crazy.
Any real force would have probably broken as it ran itself into a grinder.
Yeah, I mean, like, unlike the people who made this movie, I have taken basic history class, and I know what happens in World War I when you charge troops against machine guns. Okay? Like, everyone had to learn that in high school history. How did the people who made this movie not learn that?
Okay, well, that was a dumb scene.
Maybe off-screen there was, like, six or seven other police forces all bigger.
Yeah.
And, like, this was the distracting
one. I mean,
ones.
I know I'm harping on this scene, but it was just so stupid.
It's one of the many scenes that really pulled me out of this movie and stopped me from feeling immersed in the story.
Speaking of things that pulled me out of the movie... Why on earth do they have Batman walking around in broad daylight? Like, the other two movies both understood that Batman is most effective when he's used like a horror movie monster. Like, you don't actually see him all that much. He's in the shadows, and you can just imagine how cool he is. But when you see him in broad daylight, you can tell he can barely move in that suit.
Yeah.
And it, like, crushes, Christian Bale, that mask crushes his cheeks together. And you can tell it gets worse the longer he wears it, because at first he fights it, and you can still kind of see his teeth, and he can still kind of talk right, but the longer he's in the suit, he eventually just gives up. He's like, I can't win.
He looks really confused a lot of time with kind of puffy lips. He's like, ooh, what's going on?
Yeah.
And like,
where's the detonator?
Where's the detonator? And also that scene, I've seen some videos on YouTube where people dress up as Batman and like fool around and yell like justice and punch the Joker in the face for fun. And like one of the scenes is like this kid yelling at the camera and like making like Batman deep like the really deep voice thing. There was a scene like that in this movie where like I could have pasted that into that YouTube video and it wouldn't have changed, where he's like almost frothing at the mouth yelling about a detonator.
and he was yelling at Bane.
Yeah.
Like the part that didn't bother me, what Ari's complaining about. What bothered me is that he was trying to interrogate Bane as if that was going to work.
Yeah, like Bane.
Like, Bane's not the kind of guy that breaks in an interrogation.
Well, I'll just tell you where the detonator is.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, his background was actually pretty cushy, so maybe he's
not. Well, yeah, but he's clearly somehow still
you give
a
Bane a stern talking to, and he breaks.
Yeah.
The funniest part about Bane is that he was still moving after he got shot. They never actually confirmed that
he got shot with the tank destroying ammunition.
Well, he can't die. Batman villains don't die. No one dies in Batman.
No one dies in Batman.
So, I mean, I know he wasn't dead.
I guess. No one confirmed.
Maybe. I mean, the Joker died in Batman.
Oh.
I suppose we should probably address that.
We should address that because the movie never does.
Yeah, which I understand. I'm not actually mad at them for this because there really wasn't a good way to do this because they can't... If they'd even mentioned the Joker, people would have been like, that was in bad taste, bringing up Keith Ledger. Heath Ledger, excuse me.
Don't worry, I get it wrong,
but
too.
But they didn't, and it was really obvious.
Yep. Especially since the Bane's plan felt more like the Joker's plan than Ra's al Ghul.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was more of a spiritual successor to trying to break Gotham's spirit before you break Gotham.
Yeah,
that wasn't Ra's al Ghul's plan. Ra's al Ghul's plan was skip breaking Gotham's spirit and just break Gotham.
Yeah, Ra's al Ghul was definitely the most practical of all of Batman's villains, which is saying something.
Well, he was trying to do the Joker's scheme with Ra's al Ghul's tactics, and it just ended up being weird.
I just felt like seeing Ra's al Ghul, A, it's been a long time since we've seen Liam Neeson hanging out in a Batman movie. I forgot it was Liam Neeson who was Ra's al Ghul, honestly. I just forgotten. And then he showed up and, you know, out and, you know, steals his scene away, but, like, I understand it's hard to mention the Joker, and I know Nolan is trying to be respectful to the dead actor, but I really feel like this would have been improved if they had just connected him not to Ra's al Ghul. You didn't even have to connect him to the Joker.
No, the reason they connected him to Ra's al Ghul was because otherwise he had no reason to be doing anything.
Well, like, you can say he's in the League of Shadows. Don't make him Ra's al Ghul's son. It didn't need to happen. It wasn't an important connection.
Wait, was he Ra's al Ghul's son? I can't remember if that
was his
backstory.
No, that was his fake backstory.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I get so confused by this backstory. It's all fake.
They pretend that he was... But clearly for most of the movie we're supposed to think he's Ra's al Ghul's son.
He's someone's son. I don't care who it was. But, like, Ra's al Ghul, it just wasn't really necessary. We didn't need to see Ra's al Ghul.
You know, like, what would have been great as I was coming out of this movie and I was thinking they wanted to have Will Neeson in this Liam Neeson in this movie and they wanted him to be Ra's al Ghul. I was thinking, you know, we never actually got 100% sure that he was dead in Batman Begins. How about instead of this, like, all of this flashback, how about the beginning of the movie be Ra's al Ghul is still alive? He's in charge of the League of Shadows, and he's decided to back off of Batman. Maybe even Batman has kind of convinced him a little bit that Gotham should be spared. Bane busts in and is like, no, sir, we are not having any of this. I am taking over the League of Shadows. And then he kills Ra's al Ghul.
Well, Ra's al Ghul was kind of like a hallucination deal.
Because the movie actually confirmed for us that he died in Batman Begins.
Batman killed someone.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least left someone to their death.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, you know, it's okay.
It's alright. Batman, like, the Batman continuity will go to all kinds of lengths to explain why Batman has never killed anyone.
I promise, all those guns on his vehicles, they're not for killing.
That's not what they're for, guys. They're for clearing wrecks and obstacles.
They're for
making ramps that you can then jump your car
over. They're for peaceful initiatives only.
Okay. Alright. So, yeah, I was just... Having Will Neeson in the movie was a little bit...
Liam Shatner?
Liam Neeson. Having Liam Neeson in the movie was a little weird. I mean, I like Liam Neeson, even though I will always remember him as Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon
Jinn. I like Liam Neeson, but I don't really feel like he needed to be in this movie. I understand why they felt they needed to connect Bane to Ra's al Ghul somehow, but... I feel like he was almost in the movie because Christopher Nolan was worried we'd forget who Ra's al Ghul was if he didn't show up, which I guess is fair because Ari forgot.
Who was this guy? Also, I didn't identify Scarecrow immediately.
Oh,
sorry.
Well, I actually didn't have a problem with that.
No, I was fine with it. I just didn't know who he was for a while.
Yeah, the Scarecrow being there I thought was actually a nice touch because he was there, but it wasn't like in an obtrusive way. It was like you could enjoy that sequence just fine without knowing who the Scarecrow
was. You know who
was.
Exactly. He could have just been some weirdo.
Who I think should have been plagued by like hallucinations.
Who?
Commissioner Gordon, plagued by Two-Face, or Harvey Dent.
We didn't need more scenes in the movie, though.
I mean, instead of Ra's al Ghul showing up, and, like, because, like, Batman didn't spend 8 years lamenting Ra's al Ghul, whereas Commissioner Gordon spent 8 years, like, congratulating the man that tried to kill his son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me that's not a more personal connection.
No, I mean, this movie would have been so much better if it had had a connection to Two-Face. If they had just, you know, honestly, I would have preferred for them to weave some movie magic and say he didn't actually die at the end of The Dark Knight.
Two-Face
then
he could have been
the villain for this movie. And I think that would have worked way better than introducing a new villain in the third act.
Oh, my God. Her Everything about her introduction was awful. It stole...
Are you talking about Tate?
Tate, yeah, sorry, yeah, Tate.
Well, I was talking about Bane, but Tate is worse. I mean, okay. Bane is... Again, Bane is well played. Like, Eric Bana plays Bane... Is that right? Tom Hardy. Sorry, Tom Hardy. Eric Bana is another guy from Star Trek. No, Tom Hardy plays him very...
I mean, 3 Star Trek references.
Yeah. Tom Hardy plays him very well. And he's well-voiced, and for the most part, he has decent lines most of the time. And he just looks pretty cool in general, even though I don't like the thing in the mouth. But Two-Face would have been a much better villain for this movie, because he actually already has a connection, and they don't need to introduce a new one.
Yeah. And it's not like comic books are never like, oh, but the secret evil dude wasn't actually killed!
You know what the problem here was?
What?
Heath Ledger died. He was supposed to be in this movie.
But Two-Face could have been, though.
He could have, but they had already killed him was the problem, and the Joker was still out there. And then Heath Ledger died, and then the villain who was probably, like, maybe Bane would have been in this, but I can guarantee you the Joker would have been too. I don't think they felt comfortable bringing Two-Face back. I bet the decision was that we already killed him, we have to come up with something new.
Probably, but I wish they hadn't.
Like, I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but that was the problem. This movie is greatly harmed by the Joker not being able to appear in it, you know, and all that, all the sadness that comes with that.
Right,
yeah, that was really too bad. Both on and off the screen.
Yeah, but I think even with that, even if the Joker had been there, I think I still would have had all these problems.
Yeah.
Because I think that a lot of this crap has nothing to do with the Joker. It's just that the movie was poorly thought out. Like, especially the ending sequences. The beginning is all right.
Yeah.
But the end.
You and me disagree on that, sir.
Really?
I didn't like.
I think the beginning is significantly better.
The beginning was a lot stronger than the rest of the movie.
Really? The beginning is when it threw a bunch of characters I didn't care about at me, and there were so many new names that I wasn't sure who was talking about who.
Don't get me wrong. The beginning isn't perfect. It's got some. I agree that there. It's weird that so many new characters are showing up.
Hey, who are these people? Why do they matter? Oh wait, they don't.
But then, like the
probably matters.
The second probably half matters. Is the part where everything starts to go wrong. Like, in the first half, they hadn't showed us enough for me to know that everything was wrong. And
why is the movie called Dark Knight Rises? When does Dark Knight do any rising?
He rises just does a bunch of...
He gets a bunch of getting his ass kicked is what happened.
No, it's called...
Dark Knight Falls.
It's supposed to be called The Dark Knight Rises because he falls when Bane breaks his back.
And then he continues to fall throughout the rest of the movie.
Quiet.
Shut up.
And then he comes back. Is why it's called The Dark Knight Rises, I think. It was actually pointed out by a different movie reviewer that he basically rises twice. Because in the beginning, he has to learn to be Batman again. And then he has to do it again after Bane breaks his back.
He has to learn to be Batman again some more.
Like, twice. And I just come back to it. It's hard for me to take Batman seriously when he's in full daylight. Yep. Because he just looks so goofy. And he's... Sorry, go ahead, Ari.
I just wanted to speak quickly about the beginning of the movie.
Lean closer to the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I like tipping my chair back.
Don't do that. You're going to fall and die.
I'm sorry.
Batman will save you.
Oh, Batman will save me. Save me, Batman. He will help me rise.
Thank you, Batman.
The beginning of the movie for me was just so weird. Because, like, I felt like that guy who captured Bane was supposed to be a person that I, like, was a character. And then he just died. Does anyone remember him?
Person who captured Bane.
The CIA guy.
Was he CIA? I didn't know what he was.
Yeah, they mentioned he was CIA.
I had such a hard time identifying anything that was going on. And also, apparently, that's not how planes work.
Which part?
Where they picked up the plane and all its shit.
Oh, that was cool.
I mean, it was cool.
That was cool enough.
I was told by someone who knows about planes that that's not what happens if a plane did that. Like, the people in the other plane could have easily fixed the problem.
To me, that falls pretty squarely under the rule of cool.
That's
true. That was cool enough to be allowed.
What confused me was that these pilots, who are probably also CIA pilots, were so sedate about this other plane just flying down on top of them.
Just like, ooh. Ooh,
like, even if it doesn't actively mean them harm, you'd still get out of the way. I mean,
Also, how does a cargo plane outfly that thing? That was a massive cargo plane.
Quiet you.
How did it do that? How did it catch them?
It was already there. They knew where they were going.
Look, there were like 8 guys inside of it, and they were hooked up to bicycles. It was a pedal-powered plane, all right?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any more of your nonsense. They were fired up by their hatred of the rich.
I also want to know who. I also kind of want to know, are those guys that work for Bane supposed to be part of the League of Shadows? Because they're not ninjas, but they're willing to die for Bane.
No, I think that they had to be.
I've heard
there's a lot of dudes to be in the League of Shadows. But they were clearly also, like, extremely idealistic and not mercenaries.
Also, like, no. What about the dudes who were, like, working on all the construction projects for the evil Bruce Wayne? Because they weren't working for Bane, but, like, they were willing to, like, go into a punch fight with an armed cop to, like, stop their evil plan from being found out. Like, they weren't part of the League of Shadows. They were just construction
workers.
Bane
has a special rule called loyal mooks.
Oh, man. He Highlandered the evil Bruce Wayne's mooks when he killed him.
Yep.
These are my mooks now. They join me.
God, fuck if I know.
It's like, how did the... Also, I'm very surprised that every bridge in Gotham got reconstructed by the same company in, like, 2 months. Except the one. And,
the
like,
police district.
A huge part of the city also, because, like, I live in a city that's... Not how construction works. Construction's slow.
Quiet you.
It doesn't happen that quickly.
No, but we're using super concrete.
We're using super explosive concrete.
To be fair,
one ever tested this shit.
To be fair, a big part of the reason like construction often takes a long time is that like money stops and starts. So there'll be like long stretches
it also just
where
it takes a long time to make something enormous.
It takes a long time to fix a bridge. Like this is stuff that spans like a year, not a couple months.
They really hate rich people.
That's fine. I mean, they could have just said it took 2 years. It would have been the exact same thing.
It could have.
They could have done a lot of things.
One of the many things that stretched my belief in this movie is how this all happened. It was too big. This kept trying to, like, make it bigger and bigger and bigger. And one, the world of Batman is not set up to be big because the only cities we've ever been to in the United States are Gotham. And then there's Hong Kong. And
yeah,
then there's a hole in the ground.
That definitely hurt my believability. It was like, why is it still only Batman dealing with
also,
this situation?
Also, did anyone like when the guy said high altitude overflights and the planes are just kind of flying over the skyscrapers?
So they weren't even. Some of them were flying like lower than the top of the skyscraper.
I'm just like, that's not high altitude, guys. High altitude is above the cloud line, so no one can see you and accidentally set off the nuke. Because, I'd get kind of antsy when, like, F-22 started flying above the city. I told the military to stay the fuck away
from. Bane didn't actually want to nuke the city. If he wanted to nuke the city, he would have.
Yep.
Bane's plan makes absolutely no sense.
Nothing about anything.
Nothing about that plan made any sense. Aha, joke's on you. I'm going to blow up the city anyway. Why didn't you just blow it up? I don't know.
Because then the movie would have been over 20 minutes too early.
All the people who I would have proven my point to died anyway, so why does it matter? I feel like Bane could have just, like, faked some footage and put it on the TV and then blown up Gotham, and then Batman could have just watched Gotham. Gotham's just a smoking crater. I think that would have broken Bruce Wayne pretty bad.
That would have been hilarious.
It would have just been like, yeah, you just failed, suck it.
There's no more Gotham.
Also, like, Bane was, like, said a line about reworking Western civilization, and, like, blowing up the equivalent of Manhattan, because that's the closest thing I can come up with in the real world to Gotham, like, that would be terrible and cause big repercussions. It would not remake Western civilization.
No, it would.
Hell, I don't think it would make some bad changes in the U.S. I don't think it would remake the U.S., though.
No.
And like,
well,
all right, also,
so first of all, the U.S. is
Actually, I could see that being like the Kickstarter for a premise where like government becomes super totalitarian
maybe,
and like controls
but,
everybody
like,
and
the
like
worst
it's all
way
post-apocalyptic.
It's basically like the basic equivalent we have to is something like this is 9/11. It's like if Osama bin Laden hopped in the plane and blew himself up with 9/11.
And the rest of New York.
And, it's actually more like the entire Taliban got on board a plane and flew into New York because he's killing his entire organization. The head of his organization, Tate, him who's the second in command, all their loyal
He doesn't actually plan on succeeding.
Wait, hang on. All right, there's one very important flaw with your analogy.
What?
All right, so the group that blew up the Twin Towers was actually Al Qaeda and
sorry.
Not the Taliban.
Sorry.
The Taliban
is a
religious theocracy that used to rule Afghanistan.
My apologies.
They were friends with Al Qaeda, kind of. And they allowed Al-Qaeda to stay in their country, but they are distinct groups.
I'm sorry.
And not the same.
I'm sorry, okay.
We shouldn't bring real politics into it.
I'm sorry. Gotti nimped themselves up in their first attack. How's that? That's what it was.
Problem solved, guys.
It's like, okay, they've done a lot of bad stuff, but they're all gone now. So their threat is...
Yeah, that's...
I mean, maybe he had an escape plan?
Except he didn't.
Yeah,
their escape plan
was
hang out in the city.
Oh, wait, speaking of escape plans, alright, now we have to talk about one of my favorite parts in the movie.
Oh, man, just jostle that bomb around, it's not dangerous.
Oh, well, yeah, well, there's that part. There's the part where they're having the completely pointless chase sequence.
Oh, yeah, because, like, they're chasing the truck, but, like, their victory condition is Tate dying, so why is she running away from...
Well, they didn't know that Tate had the detonator.
Well, no, but Tate knew she had the detonator, and she's like, run away from all the people who are trying to get us! It's like... Why? Just break the truck so they can't take it anywhere. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I have a really hard time believing that that jamming device would still work if the detonator was, like, 5 feet away.
Yeah, or just remove the damn thing. Get in the back of the truck.
It's like, you, go push the button that makes the bomb go.
It's like...
Oh, and of course, Commissioner Gordon was somehow perfectly fine, despite being slammed around in this truck with a, like, 5-ton bomb.
Maybe they strapped it down real good.
Yeah, you know, they probably did. But no, okay, so my favorite part of the movie that isn't Catwoman related is...
Really your favorite part of the movie?
Not sarcasm. Okay, this is, I guess, still a little bit of sarcasm. Is when Batman...
It made him laugh.
It did make me laugh. This is why I say I enjoyed the movie, even though I don't think it was very good, is when Batman, like, is gonna fly the thing out with his bat, you know, with his bat
wing.
With his bat wing,
no,
right?
Bat, not wing. Bat, word missing, period.
So he's gonna
bat space.
So he's gonna fly it out. And, like, I was just watching it, and I was like, alright, so first of all, you're spending a lot of time, like, hemming and hawing over this. He's got, like, 2 minutes before the bomb explodes.
We don't have time for this,
and
kid.
They established earlier that the bomb has a 6-mile blast radius.
Which is weird, because they have no idea how big... They've never tested a device like this. They're all experts on things that have never happened.
But no,
like,
I'll
tell them all.
Alfred probably told them.
Let me tell you how good our estimation of how big the blasts of the original nuclear devices were.
Yeah,
we thought it was a contained explosion, guys.
All right, so anyway, he finally gets over himself and gets the bomb and tells everyone he's gonna die. Spoilers, he doesn't. And then he, like, gets in the thing and flies away, and he's going, like, 15 miles an hour. He's not going very fast.
He's just smacking
and,
the bomb
at
into
one,
things.
At one point, I did the math, and I was like, to get 6 miles away in what was probably about 40 seconds by that point, he'd need to be going something like 400 miles an hour.
Batwing could do that.
And
the Batwing could, but that's a plane. The original Batwing's a plane. This is like a urban fighting helicopter.
The Bat Space could totally do that.
But it can't. It was clearly not going that fast.
It's an urban fighting helicopter.
But it's magic.
And I was
rotary powered. That, like, shit don't go that fast.
I was just like, aw, it's only a baby bomb. It hasn't gotten grown up yet. One day it will grow up and be a real bomb. God damn it. You know, to say nothing about, like, being outside the blast radius doesn't mean you don't die. Yep. I mean, they keep calling it a nuke. I assume it spreads radiation.
We don't need that bay. That bay is unimportant to the American people. Fuck it.
Just
irradiate the entire...
Well,
like,
no,
irradiate...
See, now in the next Batman movie, everybody will be, like, mutant and, like, all radiation.
Oh, man.
And then
fight zombies.
Yeah. No, and then the League of Shadows will really have a reason to destroy Gotham. Because everyone will be mutant and destroyed.
Then everyone will hail the League of Shadows as the great liberators of zombie Gotham.
And then I was like, you know, wait a minute.
Ninjas versus zombies.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had that one, like, actually emotional scene where Alfred is sad that Batman was dead.
That kind of pissed me off.
I really
feel like they just...
What is
cheap.
That actor's name?
Alfred. Whatever. I feel like they had Alfred, like, okay, this scene isn't touching enough. We need you to be a good actor and get all choked up and make the scene more
impressive.
We need
you to act.
Right. It's like... Yeah.
I almost wonder if he even had a script or they were just, like, ad-lib that, okay?
But, like, yeah. I understand it is pulling at the heartstrings kind of blatantly, but it got to me. I felt something. That actor is good. Seeing a man who's basically dedicated his life to serving and protecting this one person for his dead parents, who has then died, his entire life's purpose has failed.
If he had been in the movie, it might have, you know...
I'm glad he wasn't in the movie, because then he would have gotten ruined by it. But his absence saved him.
Wait, who?
Alfred.
Oh.
He wasn't really in the movie.
You mean he wasn't in it much. All right.
But, and then, that was a touching scene for me. I really liked that scene. And then they ruined it. Batman is alive, and he doesn't tell the person who he is closest to on the entire face of the planet. The man who has basically been his entire family for his entire life, and who's basically in not telling Alfred, he has left Alfred thinking that he has failed and his entire life's purpose was meaningless. That is probably one of the cruelest things you can do to a person, and not something I would ever attribute to the hero of a story.
Or anyone who isn't a huge sadist.
Yeah, like, that was just one of the cruelest things
a person
could
do. Maybe
Alfred
was hallucinating at the end. Maybe that wasn't really Batman.
Well, except not. Except all that other shit was missing, so obviously Bruce Wayne is still alive. And, like, I heard it positive, well, maybe they tell someone, he doesn't want anyone to know that he's still alive. And Alfred said... I wish you would not come back. don't come back to Gotham. I will stay here and keep
right. And Alfred can keep
safe.
The secret.
Alfred
is
like, and he already had a speech about it. He had a speech saying, "I'll keep your secret. We won't even say anything. Right. I won't acknowledge that I know you. I just want to know that you are happy and living your own life." And he had that speech, and they ruined it.
Yep.
Everything about that.
Yep.
Yeah, it would
Batman
have been a better movie
if
Batman died.
Batman is a giant troll.
I just hope that comes out in
troll
face.
If at the end, instead of if Batman is gonna fake his own death, at the very least, he could have fucking told Alfred.
Yep, tell Alfred.
That was just
if not anyone else.
Like I could maybe make an argument for not telling anyone else. Maybe Commissioner Gordon would get drunk and almost tell a giant crowd of rich people that Batman was still alive, but not Alfred. Alfred would never tell anyone. Alfred is like the most loyal friend you could possibly ask for, and oh my god, I was so mad.
He attributes all these terrible things to Bruce Wayne, and like Bruce Wayne isn't my hero anymore.
Yeah, and the sad thing is that I do think Christian Bale does a good Bruce Wayne. He doesn't do a good Batman, but that's partially the costume's fault.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to do as Batman. You're basically there to be ass-kicking, so
But I do like his Bruce Wayne, and I can't ever like his Bruce Wayne anymore.
And the worst part is, I don't even think the movie realized what it was doing.
No, I don't think they did. I don't think they realized a lot of things.
But, like, they just this human, simple human connection that they just couldn't get. On a funny note, I kind of wish that scene had done it, and they were like, "Oh, it's going to be Batman," and then Bane was sitting there at the table.
Yeah.
Next up, and Alfred was like,
drinking tea through his
face mask. He's like, "Yeah, I'm Bane. I'm still here."
Yeah, he's got a straw.
No, that little grill is also a vacuum cleaner.
Okay. He just sticks his grill in the food and
doubles as a Hoover.
He's got a thing in his mouth.
Oh, also, God. Now there's an orphanage above, like, the Batcave. Oh, yeah. So if the bad guys ever find out about it, they'll be like, "Shit, they're attacking the Batcave. Protect the orphans!"
Why are there a bunch of orphans in the Batcave?
Who put the orphans in the
Batcave?
Also,
they kept showing us the same orphan and, like, acting like he was important for some reason, but then he wasn't.
Especially since it's not like little kids are known.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Don't worry. Batman never killed anyone. Batman believes in gun safety.
Did you notice the Batcave seemed significantly more cave-like this time around?
It was really cavey. Lots of wet rocks.
Was it not like that before?
I remember it having more stuff in it last time.
More things.
I guess he hasn't used it for 8 years,
Maybe Alfred cleaned it up or something for him.
I don't know. That didn't bother me.
I don't remember it up, but I do. It did feel more cavey. I got that. I felt the same thing when I watched it. I can't cite any one source because I haven't watched the others in a little while, but I know what you're saying.
Okay, I think I've said about all I feel like I can say on this movie. I'm sure something will come to mind in the future. You guys have any closing thoughts?
I hope to not see Batman on the big screen for a long time after this.
Yeah. For the next movie, I think it would be a strong choice if they focused on Robin.
Yeah, they're not going to, but it would be nice if they did.
And I'm kind of glad I think Nolan's done with Batman.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see the next incarnation.
Like I'll be in maybe 10 years, I'll be interested to see another Batman. And I hope I saw two more things. I saw the preview for the new Superman. I hope in my heart of hearts it is good, but no, it will not be. So you know, hopefully we'll see another good superhero movie that isn't Avengers related.
The Superman preview did not fill me with confidence on the fact that Superman in that is really, like, they show us a CGI Superman and it's really blocky looking, and like, really? That's the best thing you had?
I thought it looked a lot better than any of the previous Supermans.
That's a low bar to jump, Leo.
Oh, it is. But it jumped it.
It jumped it in a single bound!
Alright, we're done. Yep. We're talking about Batman. Okay. This is over.
This doesn't actually have to do with Batman, so screw you, Orin. Christopher Nolan's a super cool guy. I hope he makes more good movies. But also, I want to plug his, I believe this is his younger brother, like Jonathan Nolan or something like that. He makes cool stuff too. Go watch some of his shows.
What does he even make?
Person of Interest, a show I just started watching today. It's pretty rad. Go watch it.
Oh, okay.
It's like a sweet conspiracy theory show.
All right. Well, good night, everyone. This is All Things Batman signing off.